Listening to All in a Day here on CBC Radio 1, 91.5 in Ottawa. Now, this sounds like the plot of a suspense film, but Robert Fontaine is not in for a little bit still. But picture this. An army of giant jellyfish swarms a Japanese harbor, paralyzing the port and even capsizing a ship. What made the 2009 incident particularly troubling was that there appeared to be a growing pattern of giant jellyfish invasions in the world's oceans. Alarmed marine scientists started searching for a cause, eventually pointing the finger at climate change and overfishing. But was that verdict actually based on myth or reality? Our science columnist Michael Bardwaj is here to help us comb through the evidence. Hi there, Michael.
It's hard to believe, isn't it, Alan?
I know.
Actually happened.
And I remember when the story came out, it did almost have, even the photos that were being used by newspapers and so on, they were sort of playing off this idea of they attacked.
Yeah, expected Godzilla to come in at some jellyfish versus Godzilla or something like that. Not the case at all.
Who would win that? No, but tell us about what did happen. Remind us.
So apparently hundreds of these giant Nomura's jellyfish had clogged the waters off the port city of Chiba a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And Alan, these jellies are huge. I mean, these things weigh up to 450 pounds each.
Wow.
They're roughly 2 meters in diameter. So yeah, they're monsters, right? And this Japanese trawler was out on the water and it was tasked to clear them out. Now, as they hauled in a net of dozens of these jellies, their boat capsized and several of the fishermen were thrown into the water among these giant stinging jellyfish, like a total nightmare come true, right? Similar blooms have happened in Japan in the past, damaging fishing nets and killing off fish stock as well.
Have these attacks been happening elsewhere then?
Well, yeah. In the last 10 years alone, fisheries in Tunisia and Ireland have been disrupted by hordes of jellyfish, or what scientists call jellyfish blooms. They've clogged intake valves at power plants in Florida, Scotland, Israel. And wherever there are blooms like these in coastal waters, you can bet you'll see a spike in reports of jellyfish stings at local hospitals.
So do they have ideas as to why these happen?
Yeah, well, originally, experts suggested that it was a combination of two things. First, overfishing, which destabilized the ocean food chain and left room for jellyfish to take over. Second, ocean temperatures rising as a result of climate change. In fact, one marine researcher by the name of Jeremy Jackson published his prediction that the world's oceans would see more and more of these jellyfish blooms based on the destruction of marine ecosystems. Now, this paper of his was published just over 10 years ago in Science, which is a highly prestigious journal. Mm. I mean, when something is published in Science, people sit up and they pay attention. So all of a sudden, all these scientists began echoing this claim that jellyfish numbers were on an alarming rise. Mm. The story got picked up by the media and eventually led to the belief that our waters would soon be swarmed by, you know, armies of giant stinging jellyfish, and that one day, who knows, they would become our overlords or something like that. Okay, maybe not that far, but something along those lines.
I don't remember that being floated, in
fact.
Yeah,
it was a footnote. It turns out, though, there were problems with the science behind this prediction in the first place.
What were the problems?
Well, the truth of the matter is there was no hard data to back up any of these claims. And it wasn't until Rob Condon clued into this lack of evidence that people started to question the original theory. Hmm. Now, Rob is a marine scientist at the Dauphin Island Sea Lab off the coast of Mobile, Alabama. And back in the day when he was studying jellyfish, I mean, he too bought into this thinking behind the original science paper and all the thousands of publications that have sourced it since. But then at a certain point, he noticed the same theme cropping up in these papers. I mean, researchers would claim jellyfish blooms either seemed to be or were most definitely increasing worldwide. Meanwhile, they'd say that there was no published data set to prove any of these claims. Hmm. So Rob puts two and two together and realizes this whole blobs attacking from the deep story was based on nothing but a hypothesis. Well, now he and a team of researchers from around the world are determined to get things back on track so that they can find out the real reasons behind these jellyfish blooms.
Okay, so they could understand it better. How do you better understand jellyfish blooms?
Well, what they're doing is they've come together to form a working group called the Jellyfish Database Initiative, or JEDI for short. You have a clever remark.
It's too
remark
good.
Like to,
no, yeah, I'm just
on,
saying it's
I'm
too
waiting.
Good to be true. I'm not even going to touch
Listen,
it.
Listen, it's not even his idea. It's not like he's some Star Wars nerd in his basement or anything like that. He prefers Harry Potter.
Okay.
He will
fair
have
enough.
You know.
Well, they couldn't come up with an acronym that somehow got Hogwarts in this? I don't know.
It was his wife's idea, apparently.
All right.
So the first task for this group is that they had to better
this
understand.
This group of Jedis.
This group of Jedis.
Yeah.
this group of Jedi's, their first task on this intergalactic journey is that they had to better understand jellyfish themselves. So Rob and the team, they had to plow through at least 30 years of research worth to better understand these things, how they function, and why they bloom. And what they were hunting for in particular are data sets, right? So the actual numbers of jellyfish blooms on regional scales. Now, Rob mentioned just how difficult this task has been so far. I mean, at times, he and the team, they have to track down these long-ago studies published in some obscure Russian journal, then translate it into English and hope the data is scientifically sound. Now, once he's collected and cleaned up enough of these data sets, Rob hopes to pull them together and produce the first accurate picture of jellyfish blooms around the world.
I guess the question, even though you have this earlier data that has been speculative, we could still have jellyfish blooms that were on the rise, right?
Yeah, it's true. But based on the results of their number crunching and field studies, Rob and the team, they may conclude that jellyfish blooms are on the rise and that they pose a legitimate threat to ocean ecology and industry. Or they may find that jellyfish numbers remain status quo, could possibly be that they're on the decline. Rob doesn't know. And he's proud of the fact that he doesn't know and willing to admit it. See, to him, the trouble with all of this is that far too many of these jellyfish scientists have been coming up with these theories, these ideas, perpetuating the myth,
right,
rather than saying, hey, we have no idea. It doesn't make for a very scientific approach at all. Now, Rob hopes scientists will learn from his efforts and realize there's more harm than good that comes out of these kinds of false claims, that it takes guts to say, I don't know, but it's worth it. And on a more practical note, once the data is crunched, Rob hopes to work with governments and various industries to better predict when and where these horrible, disgusting, slimy, blob-like creatures may rise out of the deep. No bias on my end.
No, Alan. No. You obviously are very willing to. I, however, in the words of Kent Brockman, say to our future overlords, welcome! No. Thanks very much, Michael.
You're welcome.
Michael Bardwaj, our science columnist.